Inch by inch, the billowing flames devoured the supplies in the shelter. Cole chuckled, then laughed out loud. As the searing flame surged and rolled higher along the sides of the shelter, his laughter grew hysterical. By the time the flames engulfed the wooden hut and licked up into open air, Cole had lost all control. His wild laughter mocked the world and everyone he had ever known. It mocked the loneliness. It mocked every bully that had ever picked on him. He laughed at every time he had ever been teased, every time he'd been arrested, every time his parents had argued. He laughed at all the times he'd been beaten by his drunken father or been ignored by his drunken mother. These were the ingredients in his cake, and they sucked. Cole didn't care anymore. His life was beyond caring. With Cole's laughter, hot tears escaped his reddened and angry eyes and flooded his cheeks. This banishment was the ultimate hurt, worse than his father's fists and belt, worse than his mother's never caring. This was the hurt of being alone and unwanted. The flames of the burning shelter rumbled like a freight train and sucked at the air. Thick smoke poured from the doorway and boiled upward from the blaze. Still, Cole kept laughing like a madman. Not until the flames began to subside did his manic laughter fade. Only then did he let his attention stray from the fire. The first thing he saw was the Atau, the brightly colored blanket given to him by Garvey. It rested unharmed in the grass nearby. Shielding his face from the burning heat, Cole snatched up the Atau and with one swift motion flung it toward the fire. In the same motion, he turned away from the flames and ran toward the shoreline. No one in the healing circle had known how strongly he could swim, not even Garvey. The only person who knew was his father. He was the one who forced Cole to go out for the swim team, because that is what he himself had done in high school. But no matter how well Cole swam, his father criticized him. "You swim like you have lead up your butt," he'd scream as Cole swam, if he managed to show up at all. Cole studied the bay as he removed his shoes and pulled off his clothes. He stood in his underwear and stared out across the waters. The boat had brought him west from Drake. Now, with the afternoon sun setting behind him, he fixed his eyes on the first island to the east. He could swim island to island, stopping at each to warm up, eat, and sleep. Sooner or later, there would be a passing boat to take him back to the mainland. Nobody would ever find him, and no one would ever again tell him what to do. Cole waded into the light surf. His breath caught when the waves reached his chest. The icy, transparent water was colder than he expected, but he plunged forward and began stroking. He knew he could not survive forever in this frigid water. Every minute counted now, and he needed to swim hard. Rhythmically, he reached out, each stroke taking him farther away from his island prison. As Cole swam, he thought about Garvey and the stupid cake demonstration. And he thought about his application for Circle Justice. It had been a full 3 weeks after he submitted the application before Garvey had casually said, "Well, champ, you've been accepted for Circle Justice. Now what are you going to do with this chance?" "It's about time." "I hope the committee knows what they're getting into," Garvey said. "This was your idea," Cole shot back. Garvey nodded. "So are you going to disappoint them?" "Don't worry about me," Cole said. "How soon can I get out of this stinkhole?" "First, the keepers will prepare for the hearing circle, where everybody gets together to look for solutions."
"Who exactly will be there?"
"Anybody who wants to help."
"Who would want to help me?"
"Might be your parents, the lawyers, the judge, myself, community members, maybe even your classmates at school. Anybody can be a part of the circle if they want to help find a solution."
"My parents? That's a joke," Cole scoffed. "They don't care if I'm dead or alive." When Garvey didn't answer, Cole asked, "Will Peter be there?"
Garvey shrugged. "It's up to him. He may not be ready to forgive you."
"I don't care if he forgives me."
Garvey rubbed the back of his neck, then glanced up toward the ceiling. "How come everything is always about you? This forgiveness isn't for you. Until Peter forgives you, he won't heal."
"Maybe if he forgives me, everyone will forget about what I did and I can get out of this pit faster."
Garvey stood to leave. "Forgiving isn't forgetting, chump."